Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To give you a very warm welcome today to our service, and we do trust that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts. And whatever your need may be today, that the one who has promised that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ, that He will meet you today at the very point of your need. We're going to join together and seek the Lord's blessing upon His word as we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee again today for the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that the apostle could say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And how we thank thee today that thou art the God who can meet each and every one at the very point of their need. And we ask thee today, O God, that thou wouldst bless our fellowship together around thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless preacher and hearer alike, and grant unto those who will hear thy word today the hearing ear and the understanding heart. And should there be those who know thee not as Saviour, our Father, we pray that today, through the preaching of thy word, they may come to know him whom to know is life eternal. So be with us now, Lord, as we continue on in thy presence. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us. Lead us and guide us into all truth. And may we know the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. For we ask all these things in our Saviour's wonderful and precious name. Amen. If you have a Bible, I would invite you to turn with me, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, to the New Testament Scriptures, to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read from the opening verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 11. May God bless the public reading of his own inspired, his infallible, and his inerrant word to all of our hearts. We're going to join together in the singing of our second hymn, beautiful gospel hymn, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead." We're turning again to Romans chapter 5, and I often think of this wonderful epistle of Paul to the Romans, in which he expounds the great doctrine of justification by faith. And we're thinking today about from sin to salvation through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to speak about creation. We want to speak about how things came into being. We would turn naturally to the book of Genesis and read those wonderful words, "In the beginning, God." But in this wonderful epistle of Paul to the Romans, we deal with the subject of justification by faith, salvation through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you know, it was through this wonderful epistle to the Romans that Martin Luther, the great reformer, came to saving faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many years later, reading his comments on this epistle to the Romans, the great leader of Methodism, John Wesley, he said, as he read those words on the subject of "the just shall live by faith," his heart was strangely warmed, and he came to saving faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this fifth chapter, there are many wonderful lessons that we can learn about salvation. And I want you to think with me, first of all, about what I have called the enormity of our guilt and our sin. The enormity of our guilt and our sin. We live in an age when sin is taken lightly, when men do not consider sin to be a bad thing or a wrong thing. And I'm often reminded of a little children's chorus that we used to sing in the children's meetings. S-I-N is a very little word, but it always spells disaster. And you must leave it very much alone, or it will become your master. And the old preacher once said that if you want to build high, you must dig a deep foundation. And so men and women must realize how tragic a thing sin is in their heart and life, because sin will take us out into a lost eternity. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Job asked the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And the Bible reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we look at this fifth chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, I want you to notice some of the things that Paul says about our sin and our guilt and our shame. The Bible reminds us there, for instance, in this chapter in verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength." How many people today would say, "Well, I'm strong. I have all my faculties about me. I am a self-made man. I do my own thing." And yet the Word of God says that because of sin and that because of our sin nature, we are not strong at all. We are without strength. And at the end of that verse, the apostle says, "Christ died for the ungodly." And so the apostle says, when we think about the effect of sin in our heart and life, we are without strength. We have no power. We have no way to save ourselves. We have no means to rise above this problem called sin. And the Bible says we are ungodly. That is opposite to everything that is good and right and holy and righteous. The Bible goes on to say there in verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners." And Paul is building this picture, a tragic picture, a sad picture of the enormity of the weight of our guilt and of our sin. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression against the law of God. And how man has failed every way, and he is without strength. He is ungodly. The scripture says he is a sinner. One of the words that are used to describe sin and being a sinner means to miss the mark. It's as if an archer would take a bow and arrow and he would put the arrow in the bow and he would aim at the target, but he would miss the target. Now, whether he misses it by a few inches or whether he misses it by yards, he has missed the mark. And the Bible tells us here that verse 12, that by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we are all sinners, ungodly, without strength. And the word of God goes on to tell us here in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. People don't want to hear that today. But Job said away back, and Job is one of the oldest books in the canon of Holy Scripture. Job says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And so as Paul speaks to us here about the enormity of our guilt and of our sin, he reminds us also in verse 10, for when we were enemies, imagine that we are at enmity with Almighty God. What an awful place to be in, to be an enemy of God, the Creator, the Sustainer of all things. And yet that's what the Apostle Paul says is in the state of our sin. Verse 12 also reminds us that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. For the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel the prophet said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we realize that we are sinners without God, without Christ, without hope for time and for eternity. But the apostle not only speaks to us here about the enormity of our guilt and sin, but thank God he speaks to us about the empathy of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. My God did not leave us in that terrible estate in which we find ourselves. God did not leave us to perish in our sin, in our weakness, at enmity with him. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, thank God for the love of God in Christ, that God so loved that he gave. And he gave his Son to the old rugged cross of Calvary. God loved us unconditionally. God loved us incomparably. And God loved us, dear friend, inestimably. My, we could never plumb the depths of the love of God in Christ. It was love that brought my Savior from above, says the hymn writer, to die on Calvary. And so the apostle reminds us here that when there was no one else to pity, none to spare, when men would write us off even in our sinful condition, that God loves us, that Christ died for us, that he paid the price for our salvation at Calvary. And so Paul speaks about the enormity of our guilt and our sin. He talks about the empathy of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll notice that he speaks about the experience of our gracious salvation. Only God can bring us from sin to salvation through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Way back in the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Samuel, we are reminded that God devised a means whereby men and women who ought to have been banished from his presence for all eternity, God Almighty devised a plan, a means, a way of salvation, that they may be brought back, that they may be brought into fellowship with him, that they may be no longer enemies. And that's what the Bible speaks about it here in this book of Romans. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. What a wonderful thing to be reconciled to God. When the Savior died upon the cross of Calvary, the Scripture says He blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. And we have been reconciled to God through the blood of His cross. He hath paid the price for us upon Calvary. We are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died that we might go at last to heaven, saved through His precious blood. And what a wonderful thing it is to have that experience in your heart and life of God's gracious salvation. I wonder, dear friend, today, in the hearing of our voice, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Have you that wonderful experience of salvation? The apostle says here in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Have you experienced that justification in your heart and life? Have you come by faith to the cross? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you say, thank God, today I am a sinner who is saved by grace. I am justified before God, as the old preacher said, just as if we had never sinned. Christ took our sins in His own body on the tree, and all our iniquities on Him were laid, and He bore them all to the tree. And Jesus, the debt of our sins fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. He paid the ransom for you. And so we can be justified. And then the Word of God reminds us also in verse 11, but not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women in this world are looking for pleasure. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for joy. They try everything and anything to satisfy the need of the human heart. But the Bible reminds us that there's joy unspeakable and full of glory only in the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Used to say that there's a God-shaped vacuum within the heart of every man. And that vacuum cannot be satisfied. Our lives cannot be filled or thrilled with houses or lands or fame or possessions or popularity or pleasure. But only when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and we receive Him as our own and personal Savior, then we experience this joy that the apostle speaks about. We joy in Christ. And thank God, because we have experienced the atonement, there is a wonderful prospect ahead of us that the sins that would have taken us out into a lost eternity, the sins that would have damned our soul in a Christless eternity, thank God, they're all washed away through the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wonder, dear friend, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to have some ceremony or some ritual that a church or a pastor or a priest can perform. But we're asking you, have you a relationship with Jesus Christ? For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And thank God, He offers full and free salvation. He can bring you from sin to salvation by His death upon the cross. He can bring you from darkness unto light. He can bring you from death unto life. But you must come as a sinner to Jesus. It is our prayer that you will come today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. Take the sinner's place, pray the sinner's prayer, and receive him. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, that he's willing and able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God through him. May some dear man or woman, young person, boy or girl, hearing thy word today, come to Christ and be saved for time and for all of God's eternity. We thank thee that men and women, boys and girls, can come from sin to salvation through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So bless thy word to our hearts, we pray, for we ask all these things in our Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.